by the blood of the Lamb of Calvary. He has forgiven me. He has forgiven me. My sins have been washed from his memory by the blood of the Lamb of Calvary. He has forgiven me.
Praise the Lord. The Lord bless each one tonight. I'm going to give everyone a warm welcome in the name of the Lord. And I have too much hay on the fork tonight, preaching wise. And I'm not going to be in the book of Samuel tonight and giving it a miss. I want to bring you something really important. I know you all know it, but I'm going to remember you all of it. And I want to tell you tonight about one of the most important dates in church history is the day. 507 years ago, on this day, Martin Luther nailed the 95 Theses to the door in Wittenberg. And he struck the Pope and Popery a blow that it's never recovered from. And I know that a lot of places are saying Protestantism's over and the Reformation's over, but we need another dose of it, in my opinion, and a big one at that. Because I'll tell you why. Revivals are good. Revival revives the people. But a reformation's different than a revival. Reformation changes right into government and everything. That's what a reformation changes. And when the reformation came, it changed everything. The wee fella and the wee girl that hadn't a Bible eventually had a Bible because of a vision of a man called Martin Luther. And not only was Martin Luther God's man, Martin Luther was a fifth church age messenger. And he was a man filled with the Spirit of God, a man moved with the Spirit of God. And tonight they're out calling up witches, Halloween, and they're doing all sorts of rituals and paganism and all isms. And I'll tell you, it's all from the pit of hell itself. Let's be honest about it. It's nothing to do with anything, only the devil. And they dress up as witches and they don't realize they're enticing spirits. The wrong type of spirits. But we're here tonight and we want the Holy Spirit. And I would to God that the spirit that moved on Martin Luther would move on us tonight. Now I'm going to mention some things this evening, praise God. And on the 31st of October, 1517, 507 years ago, but it's so important. I believe this is one of the most important events in the whole of church history. Because you see, after the day of Pentecost came, and your seven church age books is here. If you haven't got one, you need to get one. And in there, when you read in the fifth church age, you'll read about Martin Luther. And you'll read about how that the Pentecostal move had ceased in the church. And there were an absolute darkness. And God in His Spirit and God rich in mercy began to move. And that moving started with a man called Martin Luther. And it produced a mighty reformation. A reformation that shook the world. A reformation that done mighty things. And that changed things. A reformation that brought us back to truth. Because there was darkness and there was gross darkness. But the glorious light of the gospel burst forth again with a flame which was unquenchable. Thank God for it. Thank God for it. Now, I do like Martin Luther, I'll tell you that right now. And I believe he's a very important messenger. And I was just reading a bit. I didn't want to go too much in the church age book because there's so much in it. You can read it yourselves. But you know when you was reading in there that a prophet of our age specified that revelation Martin Luther got, it's still real today. It's still real, still essential. You can't be justified any other way in the way Martin Luther was justified. Now I know there's sanctification and there's a baptism. We know that. But we're going to thank God tonight for what Martin Luther, the Holy Ghost, and he had. And there's a book which William Branham mentions in there, volume 3, and he gives you the page and all, where the man in that book writes about Martin Luther that he had 9 gifts of the Holy Ghost. And he's filled with the Holy Spirit. Martin Luther was. Martin Luther was really a Pentecostal. And they might not knew much about Pentecostal then. And so was John Wesley. A man that could pray for a horse that was lame and get back on or broke his leg and ride on. Power of God. Mighty man of God. Praise God. I want us tonight, before we turn to Scripture, we're going to turn to Ephesians 5, verse 11 and a few Scriptures. Then I'm going to read some things because I don't want to make any mistakes in these dates and things. And then I don't know how far I'll get with it all. I won't try and hold you too long tonight. And it's great to see these young ones here tonight. I wished there was more here. I tell you, you see, our generation starved for the truth. And isn't that the truth? But it's there. It's there. But they're starved for it. And sadly, a lot of churches tonight will be joining in with Halloween. But we're not. I can tell you we're not. And while I'm the pastor, we're not. And dressing up. If we had dressed up tonight, we should have dressed up like Luther. We should have dressed up with the dress then, the commemorating. That's the way we should have dressed. We should have really commemorated it. If there was any dressing up to be done. But there'll not be too many dressed like that tonight, sure they're not. But they'll dress like a witch. And they'll have some old witch hung up on their door. I was working in a place the other week and there's an old witch up blowing in the wind. Blowing in the wind. Every day blowing in the wind, dressed up a witch. And then once they get over Halloween, they'll have Santa Claus. He'll be out next. He's an our false one. St. Nicholas. But it's all about Jesus, not St. Nicholas, isn't it? Amen. Let's stand our feet and let's read this verse this evening. Then we're going to pray. Praise God. We're going to pray. We need the Lord's help. Ephesians 5, and tonight I have a big long title. The Protestant Reformation, one of the most important dates in church history. Where did you get the title in my office today when I was waiting on the Lord? To say to myself, that's what I'll call it, and that's what I'll talk about tonight. And this is one of the most important dates. Ephesians 5, verse 11. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Let's bow our heads tonight. And if you have a need this evening, lift your hand to the Lord. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, we bow before you tonight. And we'll come to you in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we're very privileged people. We've opened access in through this door this evening. We give you thanks. We've also opened access into your very throne room and into your very presence because of the new and living way. Through the precious shed blood of the Lamb of God. Father, we thank you this evening for liberty and the Holy Ghost. I pray that every spirit tonight will be subject in this room to the Holy Spirit. Lord, they're outside goblin and gooses and all sorts of demon worship and demon praise. But Lord, we rebuke every devil tonight. And we uplift and praise and magnify the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of kings and the Lord of all. And we pronounce you Lord of our lives and Lord of our homes and Lord of this room this evening. We pronounce you, Lord. We proclaim your majesty in this very house tonight. The majesty and power of the risen Lord Jesus Christ tonight. Father, bring to the remembrance and help us, Lord. We know Martin Luther was only a man, but he was a special man. A man that you chose, a man that you used mightily. Lord, we pray we'll never forget the things you've done. But Lord, even as there were stones set up when they crossed over the Red Sea, and Lord, you told them, always put the people in remembrance of these things that the Lord has done. And may we have remembrance tonight on the wonderful things the Lord done with a man called Martin Luther. Bringing him out of gross darkness into the glorious light of the gospel. Showing him that God didn't hate him, but God loved him. I will bless you tonight that God aids love. Father, I pray for the hands raised in this house. Meet every need in Jesus' precious name. Touch your brother Gary tonight. From the crown of his head to the soles of his feet, touch him in his body. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, touch others, Lord, that need your touch. We think of Sister Linda. We pray you bless her and touch her and strengthen her. We plead your blood over her tonight and any others that are sick or laid aside. We plead the blood of Jesus Christ over them and meet every need for the hands raised. Bless the young ones in our fellowship and for our own sons and daughters, Lord, that's maybe outside and not see him. We claim every one of them tonight. Lord, I do take the Holy Ghost to help me right now. And I thank you that you will. Wash me in your precious blood. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. The Lord bless you. You may be seated. Praise God. First of all, I just want to go over a few scriptures that we are not to learn the way of the heathen. We'd have no fellowship with it. We'd reprove it. Jeremiah 10, verse 2 to 3 says, thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of the heaven. For the heathen are dismayed at them, for the customs of the people are vain. For one cut of the tree out of a forest, and work the work of the hands of the workman with the axe. Now, that reminds me of Cain religion when I read that. Because Cain came with the works of his hands and God said no. But Abel came with a bloody lamb and God said yes. And I'll tell you, the whole thing about Martin Luther is to do away with works. And the whole thing of Martin Luther is that it wasn't works that saved. And they could never save and they still can't save. And the whole revelation and the whole blessedness, what I want you to see tonight is the just shall live by faith. And by faith alone, through Christ alone, with no other prop-ups. Amen. Thank God for that. Amen. Thank God for it. Deuteronomy 18 verse 9 says, for thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not learn to do after the abomination of those nations. And I tell you, you know, if you go on, and those of you that listen, William Branham's sermons, and they're all recorded, many times you hear him when he goes to a foreign field, says they're all copying America now. Talking about the nakedness of America and the way the bad America got on. And he says the rest of the world's copying it. How many have you ever heard him say that? And here the Bible's warning us that we're not to learn the way of other nations, but sadly we have, haven't we? This weak country's going the same road as all the rest. This is a weak country, you know, that stood for the gospel and stood for the Lord. But how long is it now when abortion's been brought in? The murder of the unborn baby. And all these laws has been brought in, and murderers in government, and people above us that shouldn't even be in government, but it's happened. But I tell you, God will still have a people in the midst of it all. He'll still have a people. And I tell you, think of that was nothing compared to times of Martin Luther. 1 Corinthians 10, 21 says, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. And there's no many Christians today, so many Christians today are mixing devil worship and Satanism in. And you know there's many famous preachers and famous names, and they do things in meetings and people's blown away with it and they think it's wonderful, and little do they know it's witchcraft. It's actually witchcraft. And I tell you something, we need the spirit of discernment like never before. There's a lot of witchcraft today, but I'll tell you, the real Holy Ghost exposes witchcraft. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Praise God. You cannot put partakers of the Lord's table and the devil's table. And I tell you, you see, young ones that don't know anything about it, and they put up these signs of witches, and some of them even learn to say things that they don't know about. And little do they know, they're enhancing devils and demons. And they're bringing curses on themselves and curses on their families. But we want to bring the blessing, don't we? Amen? Want to bring the blessing. Today is that the date that many are using for this devil festival, Halloween, dressing up as witches and devils, and everything else comes with it. On July the 2nd, 1505, A thunderstorm in Germany changed the course of history as Martin Luther was returning from his family's home on Mansfield to Erfurt, where he was studying law, and he was caught in a storm in the hamlet of Studheim. Thunder rumbled, lightning nearly struck him. Luther begged St. Anne, who he believed was the Mother of Mary, to save his life, vowing to become a monk if he survived. He did, and he kept his promise by entering St. Augustine's monastery in Erfurt and Stottenham in the simple granite Luther stone, and he kept his word. He almost died. But I want to tell you a bit more about that when you read the history of it and study it. Luther was convinced God hated him. And the Roman Catholic Church's teachings used to bring it over to people that God hates you. And God hates your sin so much and God hates you. But you cannot preach that type of a gospel because that's a contradiction to the Bible. God hates sin, but he loves the sinner. Can you say amen to that? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He hates the sin, but he loves the sinner, doesn't he? I tell you, if God hated us all, every one of us would be wiped out in a moment. But Luther was convinced God hated him because of his lifestyle. Now, here's the thing what Luther didn't realize and Luther's parents didn't realize. God was already training Luther. What did he get? That's important. God was already training him, and he was training to be a lawyer, and his parents were actually inspired by God to make him do that, even though they might not knew it. Because God knew he was going to need a very smart man, educated, to do the writings that he wanted him to write. And not only to do the writings he wanted him to write, but to take on popery and popism and all priestisms. He was going to need somebody educated and smart to do it. And Martin Luther was that man. And God was training him up. Thank God the hand of the Lord was on him, even though he didn't know it. And even though his parents didn't know it. And after this storm and after all this happened, and he was convinced that God tried to kill him, he went on a mission to please God. I tell you, there's a great lesson on that for every one of us tonight. We can never please God by our works or our programs or our rituals. We cannot please God. I want you to think of this evening. The vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus apart from receive. Think of the religious man that tries all his life to please God. And think of the boy that never thinks of God. And in the eyes of God, they're both deceived. They're both unsaved. Look, the fruit of it, isn't it? We can't please God when we are not saved. Now, you'll please God when you're saved with your works. For your works proves your faith. But when you're not saved, you cannot please God by what you're doing. You had to get saved first. You see, the Protestant Reformation began in Wittenberg in Germany of October 31, 1517, 507 years ago, when Martin Luther, a teacher and a monk, published a document he called the Disputation on the Power of Indulgences of the 95 Theses. The document was a series of 95 ideas about Christianity that he invited people to debate with him. These ideas were controversial because they directly contradicted the Catholic Church's teachings. Yeah. And these ideas got him a pat in the back and promotion for Rome. No, they didn't. These ideas almost got him killed on many occasions. Actually, so much they had to hide him. They wanted to kill him. And they thought he was dead. And let me drop this in as well. He met a wee girl that got married as well. It's not great. And the two of them hid for a while. But they tried to kill him. That's what Rome thought of him. But of course you would come out like that, past as you like, and say she'd never done anybody any harm. But a prophet said she'd come in like a lamb, but she'll go out like a dragon. And I tell you, all the writers today is looking for the Antichrist. They write wonderful wee books, but they should all be burnt. For they're all fake and false. But at the end time, God's took the cap off. And we know the Antichrist is the Pope himself. And we're not looking for nobody else. He's the man sitting in the seven hills. He's the man with the writing underneath him, vicarious fell idea, in place of the Son of God. Therefore, he is Antichrist. And all he blesses, God curses. That's the truth.
How could he bless something and God bless it? He's against God.
He is against God. He's the man that said, don't come to Jesus, come to me. Therefore, he's equaling himself with the spotless, blameless Son of God. That makes him even bigger Antichrist than he already was, and he was big enough for Thor, wasn't he?
Thank God for these theses. I'm going to have to go over all these sometime. I meant to do it one other time. I might have mentioned some of them. But we need to go through every one of them.
And you know, as I'm studying this and reading this as well, many of the sayings Biggie and Paisley had, he got them from Luther. That's where they come from. And when you read and study Luther, and if you have an ear to hear what Paisley said in the day gone by, that's where it come from.
Much of it come from there, because it was truth. And it was truth then, and it's truth tonight. It's still the truth. Thank God for the truth. And this business, if you're not a Protestant, you are a Protestant if you're a real believer. You are a Protestant. Amen. There's no such thing as you not being a Protestant. If you're really saved, you're a Protestant, because you should still be protesting wrong. And all that's against the Holy Word of God, it's what Luther protested. Everything that's against it. And this idea that we have today of saving ourselves, no, that's Antichrist as well. It should be protested just the same, with the same vigor. The Bible told us in our first reading what we're to do about it. Luther's statement challenged the Catholic Church's role as intermediary between people and God. And we know the Bible says there's only one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus is the only mediator between God and man. And I thank God for Christ Jesus tonight. Amen. Christianity. You see, let me read you this now. Between God, especially when it came to the indulgence system, and you know, if you've never heard about indulgences was for the old priest sells you indulgences. And when you buy the indulgences of a priest from Rome that is so-called to be ordained by the Pope of Rome, you can go out tonight and do the dirt on your wife or your husband. You can get drunk if you want. You can gamble. You can do more or less whatever you want. And your sin's been paid for. But I'm sorry to tell you that it's not paid for. For no man's money could buy it. Only the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross paid for your sins and my sins. And we have to repent of them and turn from them and turn on to the Lord Jesus Christ in a full about turn circle. And I tell you, the no indulgences can give you a license to do it. But this is what really got Luther. This pickled him, if you like. And it pickled him that deep. God let it pickle him deep. So that he had moved deep. And he did. And I tell you, I guarantee, he went out of the side, went out of the chapel in a rage. And he went home. And he had the goose's pen then. You know, it's not like the pens we had now. He started writing. And he wrote out the 95 theses. Thank God for it. And he went with his hammer and he nailed her on the door. And I'll guarantee it wasn't long till the vultures were around. Wouldn't have been long. Sure it wasn't. To see what Luther's put up. And if he was the enemy, he was now the bigger enemy. But God was with him. God was with him. Hallelujah. Thank God, God was with him. This, you see, instead of the salvation, the gift of God, by faith alone in Christ, they were selling indulgences. Luther's objections to the indulgence system paved the way for other challenges to the Catholic doctrine throughout Europe. For example, John Calvin in France, Heretz, Swinley in Switzerland proposed new ideas about the practice of Holy Communion, and a group called Anabaptists rejected the idea of infant baptism. So the Baptist Church, they were moving back then. Now they might have been like they are now, I don't know. But I'll tell you, God was moving on these groups. These were the come-outers. Amen. They were coming out with splits in. But these weren't bad splits. These were good splits. These were people that was coming out of the system. And they're coming into truth. And God always brings you out to bring you into more truth. He'll never bring you out to stagnate you. He'll bring you out to revive. truth and great light, praise God. And I tell you, they come out and they debate it, you see. And they said you can't infant baptize children. They have to come to adulthood as we believe and know the day. And when they accept Christ, then you baptize them in water. Acts 2:38 in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So these people, these truths, the 1500, and they stood on them when they came out, and they received great persecution because of it. Broadly speaking, most of the challenges of the Catholic Church revolves around the notion that individual believers should less depend on the Catholic Church and its Pope and priests for spiritual guidance on salvation. Instead, Protestants believe people should be independent in their relationship with God, taking personal responsibility for their faith and referring directly to the Bible, the Christian holy book, for spiritual wisdom. So Luther's move and Luther's message give people the responsibility on themselves, that every individual will give an account to God, that every individual is responsible. And that is so true tonight. And a prophet of God in the 20th century said, God has no grandchildren, only sons and daughters. And that's true tonight. God's no grandchildren. He's only got sons and he's only got daughters. And every single individual has their own responsibility to be saved and called on the name of the Lord. That was Luther's message. That was Luther's vision. Such a true vision. Such a true message. Now I want for a moment to go back, in a sense, just to show you how Luther actually got saved. And you know, Luther, before Luther got saved and before God, he joined a monk, this order, and he joined up, and he was good. Oh, he was good. And I tell you, he done all the steps, the 24 steps, naked, stripped himself off and beat his own back, rolled on the floor, starved himself in fastings. He done everything that he could do to find favor with God. He was convinced God hated him. He was convinced God didn't love him. Started with that thunderstorm. That's what started it all. And no doubt the old devil been the prince of the power of the earth. Tell him that. But I want you to see the power in half a scripture. Not even a full verse. Half a verse. Mind when I thought of this again the day, and I went over it again, and I was in the office just praying and reading and waiting on the Lord, and I thought to myself, boy, there's some power in God's word. Even half a verse would have done to one man. Shook the world. Changed the nation. Went the whole way over the world. And there's still effects of it even 507 years later. It's still effective. Praise God for it. That's what God done. Isn't the Lord wonderful? Romans 1:17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. Here's the bit. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. That's the thing struck Martin Luther. The just shall live by faith. Now I'm going to go into scriptures. And later on here, if I have time, I won't want to hold you too long. And I'm going to lay them right out of, study them all out today. Different scriptures on it. But if we have time, if we haven't, we'll get it again. Don't worry about it. Praise God. But let me read you this evening. This is Martin Luther. I had already during that year returned to interpret the Psalter anew. I had confidence in the fact that I was more skillful after I had lectured in the University of St. Paul's epistles to the Romans, to the Galatians, and one to the Hebrews. I had indeed been captivated with an extraordinary odor of understanding Paul in the Epistle of Romans. But up to then, it was not the cold blood of out the heart, but a single word in chapter 1. In it, the righteousness of God is revealed. Praise God. This is Luther's own words. That had stood in my way, for I hated that word, righteousness of God. You see, this is the thought. This righteousness of God condemned him. This thought. How could he please God when there's righteousness of God? Amen. Which according to the use of the custom of the teacher, I had been taught to understand philosophy regarding the formal or active righteousness, as they call it, with which God is righteous and punishes the unrighteous sinner. Though I lived as a monk without reproach, I felt that I was a sinner before God with an extremely disturbed conscience. I could not believe that he was procure it for my satisfaction. I did not love, yes, I hated the righteous God who punishes sinners, and secretly, not blasphemously, certainly murmuring it greatly, I was angry with God and said, as if indeed it is not enough that miserable sinners internally lost through original sin are crushed by every kind of calamity by the law of decollage, and I can't pronounce all these words, but these are his own words. Without having God add pain to pain by the gospel, and also by the gospel threatening us with his righteousness and wrath, thus I rage with a fierce and troubled conscience. Nevertheless, I beat importunity upon Paul at that place, most ardently desiring to know what Paul wanted. At last, my mercy of God, meditating day and night, I give heed to the context of the words, namely, in it the righteousness of God is revealed, as it is written, he who through faith is righteous shall live. It's simple, but I'm going to say it again. He through faith who is righteous shall live. So how is it? It's through faith that your righteousness comes. Your righteousness doesn't come from your works, your programs. And this is the thing that dawned on Martin Luther. It is through faith that you have the righteousness. Same as the sermon I preached on the imputation of the righteousness of God for Abraham's revelation. For Abraham believed God and it was imputed to him for righteousness. Amen. And God have not imputed to us our sin, but God has imputed to us his righteousness. So when we receive Jesus Christ by faith, we receive an imputation of the righteousness of God. That imputation that God imparts to me and you, it's what he imparted to Martin Luther. That imputation is the righteousness of God. That righteousness of God far exceeds the Pope of Rome, far exceeds are ourselves, our own works, or any program, because it's God's righteousness. And you don't work a moment to get it, but God gives it. With no money, but he just imputes it to you. Freely gives it. That's what it means. He freely gives it. Says, here you are. Just by faith. How simple is that? But how many of the dead can't see it? And how many of our Christian neighbors and friends are still blinded? But I'll tell you, this is why for me, you see, this is one of the greatest conversions out of all the messengers, in my opinion. Because of the darkness he was in. Many arrest him at a wee bit of light round him, but he had none. He was in the darkest place he could be in. And the Lord still got in. Do you know why? Because the Bible got in. Are you hearing me? Where the Word of God gets in, there's light. Because the Word of God is light. Amen. Oh, thank God for it. There I began to understand the righteousness of God, that is, which by the righteousness lives by a gift of God, namely by faith. And this is the meaning. The righteousness of God is revealed by the gospel, namely, the passive righteousness with which merciful God justifies us by faith, as is written, he who through faith is righteous shall live. Here I felt that I was altogether born again and had entered paradise itself through one open gates. There a totally other face of the entire scripture showed itself to me. As soon as he got the one bit of light, the whole lot broke open to him. Amen. That's what the man's saying. As soon as God gave him one bit, the door opened, the light sprung in on him. You have to understand the darkness. I know, but been saved, sure, but brought up. That's the problem. We're religious over here. This wee country's religious, but a lot of them's not saved. But this man, you see, was in a different case. He was religious, but different type. False religion. But the gospel broke in on him. Totally different face, he says. Thereupon I ran through the scripture from memory. I also found in it other terms, analogy as the work of God. That is what God does in us, the power of God, with which he makes us wise, strength of God, the salvation of God, the glory of God. I extolled my sweetest word with a love as great as the hatred with which I had before hated the word righteousness of God. Thus that place in Paul was for me truly the gate of paradise. Later I read Augustine's, the Spirit and the Letter, where contrary to hope I found that he too interpreted God's righteousness in a similar way as the righteousness with which God clothes us when he justified us. Augustine's writings. William Branham mentions them as well, doesn't he?
the church age took.
See, all these names and these things are important. But how many of us really read them and study them? But they're important.
Luther was changed. Luther was changed.
There's no way in my own strength or power in this meeting tonight that I could bring across the importance-ness of it and what it's done. But I'll tell you, when I went to Holland and Norway, and every time I went to them and I said, what church is that?
That's a Lutheran church. What church is that?
That's a Lutheran church. What church is that? That's a Lutheran church. There was Lutheran churches in every corner. Wonder how they got there.
Do you think that they were built when God didn't move in them? I want you to know that Satan, there was a time when God moved and them came apart.
Now they might be dead today, but at one time they were very much alive.
And God done something.
It was an age when God moved mightily. And we mightn't agree with all that goes with Lutheran stuff tonight, but the original revelation, we still believe, and we still hold it, and we still know it come from God. And I tell you, we need to remember the night on the 31st of October, while they're out calling up witches and devils, it does us well to remember in history. And as a pastor, I want you to be remembered. Put the brethren in remembrance what God done. And may it stir us. Praise God. Now I want to give you some scripture proof for 20 past. Who wants another 5 minutes of scripture?
Amen. You have to. Great heaven, sir. Sure, you don't write it off.
Praise God. And the Lord good. I couldn't get out of the office today. I went in. I looked at this and I looked at that and I looked at someone else. And I couldn't get out. I was off today.
Great. And then the wife come home the night and was sleeping on the seat when I should have been getting ready for church.
She had to waken me. Time to go. Right. Here's scriptures on salvation. These are scriptures that Martin Luther would have used. These are scriptures that needs to be used. Ephesians 2 verse 8 and 9. For by grace through faith you are saved, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I'm going to read you these tonight. You can mark them down if you want. Romans 1 verse 17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. That's the very thing Luther was reading. One of the things he's reading much. You know he was, for he says he was. But there's a thing he struggled with, but God opened it up for him. Others written, the just shall live by faith. Amen? I tell you, that changed him, didn't it? That changed him and changed everything around him. Galatians 2:16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in the Lord Jesus that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be saved, but it's through faith in Jesus Christ. Luther had some revelation, hadn't he? Romans 11:6. And if by grace, then it is no more works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. Aren't you glad it's all grace? Amen? Praise God for it. Galatians 2:21. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness came by the law, then grace and grace, then by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. But we know he's not. Amen. Romans 4, verse 3 to 5. And I love the book of Romans. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is a reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but the believeth in him that justifieth the ungodly, is faith counted for righteousness. Him that worketh not,
all he does is believe. And God says, here's my righteousness for you.
And not powerful. Him that worketh not.
I believe that the same for the move of the Holy Ghost. I believe if we sincerely pray without a program of works, God can send it. Very sure he said this.
He can send the grace and the power of the Holy Ghost to see him. God can do it. Oh, I'm glad it's not by works. Many of us would fail, wouldn't we? But you're not saved because you had a good week or a bad week. You're saved by the grace of God. And I tell you one thing, God's love never changes. That's one thing that the Lord really showed me last year, and I preached on it over in Australia.
God's great love. It doesn't float about. It's not buying you a wee bunch of flowers here on Friday and then cursing you next Friday. God's love doesn't work like that. God's love's a bunch of flowers all the time, if you want to put it like that way. It's the same. And God doesn't dislike you if you maybe make a wee mistake here. You know, you do this or that. God's love for you remains the same. The devil doesn't want you to know that. But that's the Bible truth. God is love. Isn't he wonderful? Romans 5:1, therefore been justified by faith, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 3:36. He that believeth on the Son have everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son of God shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth upon him. Acts 16:31, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. My salvation simple. Romans 3:21, 22, and 28. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, has been witnessed by the law and the prophets. Verse 22. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. Verse 28. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. So when somebody tells you if you want to really be saved, there's a wee program here you have to do. You know that can't be right. Luther never done a program. You know, I'm closing. I could go on and talk about the Protestant Reformation and the eighth king, you know, in England over there, and how it all came about and all that. But I'm going to stop because I want you to have time to pray tonight. You know, William Branham said a tremendous thing, and it was really small and simple. People are not getting to Christ. That's what he said. He said people are not getting to Christ. Now, he wasn't talking about a movement or a program, but they're not getting to Christ. I went on a few days ago, and there's people that they torture me all the time from a certain place. And they've always these people over preaching for them and the big posters up. And all these different things up, and I went on the side of the staff. I must go on and listen what that boy's preaching. And I wasn't on too long, and I could see right away he complicated the gospel. He just couldn't bring it across the way Paul brought it. He didn't bring it like Paul. He didn't bring it like any of that. He complicated it. And it was so complicated, I had to really listen what he was saying, and I don't even know if he knew himself what he was saying.
But you see, when you read this here, you know what it's saying, don't you? It's written the way it's meant to be written. It's said the way it's meant to be said. You believe it simple.
And you believe in Christ simple, and you're saved simple. For the Bible says, if we don't become as little children, we'll never enter in. That's how simple it is. Simply believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, we're saved. Let's remember, the 31st of October, 1517, when God, through Martin Luther, struck the devil a mighty blow. Thank God for tonight. Let's come and bow our heads this evening. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you tonight for what you've done. How we bless your name, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord, we give you all the praise and all the glory. For it was truly the Lord Jesus Christ that came through in the life of Martin Luther. And it was truly the Lord Jesus Christ that was exalted in the writings, and especially that everyone could have the Bible. Lord, how we're thankful this evening that you moved on that date, on that day, on that man. And we're glad tonight on this very pulpit we have the Word of God, the light of the world. Lord, we thank you. This is the bread that come down from heaven. We thank you that you are the light of the world. We thank you, Lord, this evening that in you there is no darkness. Father, I pray that you'll shine this glorious light into their hearts afresh and lives afresh, into their homes afresh, upon all of our children. Lord, many of us tonight have sons and daughters away from you. Lord, we would ask that the Holy Spirit would work on them.
We would ask that the Holy Spirit would move on them. Oh God, that you'd speak to them and you'd save them. Cover them with your precious blood, we pray. Father, for this weekend, bless the meetings at Layhead. Bless our brother Mark for Sunday night. Bless the dedication service on Sunday morning. Lord, of thy story, have thy way. Touch your own people, I pray. And sanctify us tonight. May the Holy Ghost stamp his own approval on our meeting tonight. Lord, may the gifts of the Spirit be free. And may they move amongst us. And may Jesus Christ above all be uplifted and glorified. And Lord, if I've said anything amiss or out of place, forgive me. But I do pray sincerely that you'll give me the backbone and the boldness to preach the truth always. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Let's just continue to seek the Lord tonight.